special hug this morning. Praise God, you owe me. Amen. Well, good morning. God bless you. I want to welcome you to Only Believe Ministries Christian Center right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Where the Lord is good and he's working in our lives every day. Now, I want to share with you something that, first of all, I want to thank you for being a part of the church here. I really do. I want to thank you for your commitment. I want to thank you for calling this home. But I got to tell you something, that more than you being part of the church, I want to thank you for giving your life to the Lord. Now, I want you to know something, that I hope that you reverently understand how critical it is that you as a person choose to have the Lord be the Lord and Savior of your life. Listen to me, I want you to know something, that even the created earth and all of its wonderment was without form and void until the word of God was spoken to it. Until the word of God touched the earth, I want you to know the earth itself wasn't even livable. Took the word of God to make the sun and the moon. Took the word of God to bring life to grass and to all the living things and to all the animals that we get to experience. It took the word of God to bring life to the earth. And I want you to know something, that humanity without God is lost. Not only are they lost, but they actually become dangerous to themselves and to everybody else. God is our protection to make sure that our life produces life. God is our protection to make sure that our life brings hope. God in us makes humanity good. So this morning, I just want to thank you for your salvation. And I want to thank you for your consistency. See, I love to look out and listen. I'm glad for every one of you that are just starting the journey. But also want you to know that I reverence all of you who's been on this journey for a season. Because I want you to know that I know that since you've been saved, there has been opportunities from the enemy to crush and touch your life in a negative way. I know that since you've been saved, not every day has been perfect. I know that since you've been saved, you've had challenges. And I want to thank you for being not just soldiers in the kingdom, but good soldiers. I want you to know something, that soldiers are not considered good just because they sign up. But a good soldier is someone who, once that first explosion happens and once that first parade of firepower and everything that a soldier has to face, listen, once that parade comes, a good soldier is the one who still presses forward. Woo! And I want you to know that in the body of Christ, I thank you for your salvation that's been battle-tested. I thank you that even though everything hasn't worked out perfect, I thank you that the Bible says, come on, give me five, that many are the afflictions of the righteous. I thank you that even though you have faced the difficulties of this life, somehow you said, whew, the afflictions I face in this momentary life are not enough to separate me. You know, I got to tell you something, that there are going to be times where your faith gets certain shots. There's times where your faith is going to take certain shots. It's going to get hit. I want you to know that my mother got sick in 2011, right when we started coming to Kenton. And I want you to know that my mother didn't pass away till 2013, but that whole time when I would talk to my mother, we had an idea that one day she was going to get healthy enough to come and visit with us. Now, I got to tell you something. If you guys had met my mama, you would love her just the way I loved her. My brothers and sisters say I'm spoiled because my mom would say, oh, he's my baby. Praise God. But I will tell you that I can tell you, when my mom passed in 2013, March of 2013, and she had never got to meet you guys face to face, I'm telling you that wasn't the easiest moment for me. But I also tell you that my mom had lived a good life as a Christian. She'd given me over 60-something years of a saved mama that was just pressing into God. And it did not matter what she faced, she would still love the Lord. I got to tell you that even though my dad didn't treat my mom right, she would just pray and say, honey, you've got to pray for your daddy. We've got to pray. And thank God that my dad didn't get it till the very end of his time. But I'll never forget 3 years before he passed, 2 years before he passed, he said, son, I didn't teach you boys right. He said, I didn't teach you right. He said, and son, I thank you because I'm proud of who you've become. Woo! And let me tell you something. One day, I am going to walk with my father in heaven because I never gave up on him. Now, that faith wasn't in me by myself. That faith was handed over by my mother. And I got to tell you something. Would I love my mom to be here to celebrate with us with all the good things going on? You better believe it. But also, I can tell you this. Woo! That I ain't backing up because I know that one day we're going to dance, we're going to walk, we're going to dance, and we're going to race in heaven. I'm going to invite my mother to a race in heaven. I tell you what, she might be able to beat me, though, because if you read the book of them coming out of Egypt, it says that the young and the old, not one of them was feeble or weak when they left Egypt. Amen? So I just want you to rejoice in the fact that I have seen some of your high times and I've seen some of your struggles. And I got to thank you just for being soldiers of the cross. Amen? Honey, I'm a little out of control since you're not here today. I'm a little unhinged, praise God. So without Pastor Regina here, I don't know how safe you guys are. She's on a conference. She'll be back soon. So she's doing well, getting empowered to even be more for what we need in the next phases of what God has for us. But I just want to thank each and every one of you. Stay in the race because you will not be disappointed. In due season, you shall reap if you faint not. If it wasn't a battle, God wouldn't have gave us weapons. And if it wasn't tough, he wouldn't tell us to don't grow weary in well-doing. Because in due season, you're going to face resistance, but in due season, God will bring some things to pass. Amen? Father, we just thank you this morning, God. And as we enter into worship, Father, I pray that we would open our hearts so that our strength could be renewed. Father, you declare that you desire to strengthen us and bless us and encourage us, God, so that we can go live our life on a day-to-day basis like we need to. Father, we thank you for strengthening us right now. And Lord, I thank you that the Bible says that when we gather together in your name, you will come right in the midst of us. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Stand on your feet with us this morning.
You call me a friend. So not even death can shake us.
Sing it again.
You took on the grave. So not even death can shake us.
Sing it one more time.
You took on the grave. So not even death can shake us. No victor has won. Never's come and taken us higher. Now you're taking us higher.
Let your rain come, drench us in love.
asking. You said that if we ask, we'll receive. So we are asking for the greater measure. Thank you.
shines his light on the darkness. If you found yourself in a hopeless situation, the good news is he's the hope. He's the restorer. He's the healer. He's the one who saves this morning.
You give a light. You are the
would you tell them this this morning?
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. But let's just stay right here in this moment for a minute. Because this song says, yes, I will for all of my days. And so first of all, I want to just ask right now in the presence of God, if there's anybody here who's not saved or anybody here who's backslidden or anybody here that just feels like today they just want to make an open declaration before God that they are saying, yes, I will for the rest of my life serve Him. If there's anybody that has that in their heart, I want you to just walk up here, be bold. Come up here and I'm going to pray with you. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Thank you, brother. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we stand here with our brother, a man who is definitely a part of our family of faith. We stand here with Bob and God in the middle of everything that life has before us. We're making a commitment that, yes, I will, Lord. Lord, no matter what comes my way, we're not going to back up from being who we are in you. And God, as we do that, as we lean into you, Lord, you're going to strengthen us. And Father, you are going to bring us to that place of blessing, God. Lord, you said that you speak not one evil word against us, God, but in you, you said you know the thoughts you have towards us, good thoughts, to bring us to an expected outcome that will glorify your name, Father. Now, Lord, I thank you that not only are you healing our brother Bob, but you are strengthening him, and Lord, you're receiving his step of faith today, God, that yes, he will. And Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, while we're here in this presence, I feel like, not just in my natural flesh, but in my spirit, I believe that there's people out here who are believing God, that they're going to pray for people, and people are going to be healed. People are going to be free from addictions, and just you've been stirred by God that you are going to pray for people. And if that's you and you want God to be loosening those gifts in your life and you are coming before the Lord and asking him to release faith in you to be bold and pray for people and lay your hands on people, if you're here today and that's you, come right up here. Come on. Don't wait. Don't waste time. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't make me pray the Holy Ghost now. Woo! You guys are getting me fired up. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm stirred. My goodness. My goodness. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, I knew that people just had a sense of urgency today. Many of you have determined that this time. Many of you have determined that maybe you didn't even think you were ever going to be worthy, but you're starting to accept the fact that, hey, God has me here for a purpose. And this is his time. And your hands, I'm telling you, your heart of faith, your hands of compassion, your love for people. I'm telling you, God wants you to strengthen people. Amen? So I'm just going to come by and I'm just going to lay my hands on each one of you. And I'm telling you, you're going to be infused. Say, I am going to be infused. Woo! With a boldness and with a faith. And I promise you that your hands in them. Listen, sometimes, you know, people are always looking for everything else. I want you to know that the Lord keeps telling me that when I look at you, to just remind you that you are enough. In fact, you're more than enough. Listen, you're more than enough. The lives that you impact, they need the touch that's in you by the authority of God. Amen? Say it. I just want you to receive this. As I pray for you, you're going to be receiving the fact that you are more than enough. You're going to be receiving the fact that God has put these gifts in your hands. And your faith, when you use your faith and you step out boldly, God is going to answer your prayers. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, right now, you are just anointing these hands, Father. Lord, you are anointing your people, God. Lord, you're filling them with the Holy Ghost, with power. You're releasing the gifts right into them, God. And Lord, when they lay hands on people, Father, when they speak, when they pray for people, when they lay hands on them, God, people are going to be healed. They're going to be set free from addictions. They're going to be just infused with faith, Lord God. You're blessing your children's hands, God. and you are releasing into them the power and the authority of the kingdom, God. Lord, the gifts of the Spirit shall flow right into every one of them, Father. Oh, yes, God, they are infused with the anointing and with the Spirit and with the power of God. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. You are infusing them, God, with strength and with purpose, God. Oh, God, you're giving them wisdom and you're touching them, God. That, Lord, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water, Father. And, Lord, they shall touch people for the kingdom of God, Father. Now, Lord, I thank you that as they go, they will witness, they will pray for, they'll touch the lives of people, and many shall be set free and saved, Father. Lord, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you that you are strengthening and emboldening your church, Father, and you're coming upon people with a new arena of the boldness and the goodness of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Boy, whoo. Just give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to me. I love you guys. And so does Miss Regina. She's off at a conference today getting herself strengthened. We just believe that this, from now to the end of this year, we're going to be running in high gear. Amen. Because God is good. Hey, Pastor Jared, come out here for a minute. Hallelujah. We just had a powerful, anointed time with the children's church, and we just had camp. Promise Rock, praise God. We were all running towards Jesus. And for some of you who didn't realize that we had a regular church service on Thursday, I want you to know that your pastor was dressed in his conservative suit on Thursday. Which included a backpack and a hat, jeans, and probably tennis shoes. I probably preached the gospel in tennis shoes for the first time ever in my life. Yeah. So praise God. But tell everybody, you know, as good as it is, it's also, you know, a little sorrowful because we had our last vacation Bible school in this building. And I'm telling you, don't forget the times we've had here. Because the times we've had here will give birth to where we're going. But it's amazing because it's been in our heart for years. I can remember several years ago when we first wrote it down, a certain number that we wanted to have a night with more kids than this. And so I'm not going to steal any thunder. I'm going to let you...
Okay, well, we did have a very successful vacation Bible school. So, yes, give God a hand clap of praise. And also, just real quick, like anybody who had something to do with vacation Bible school, please raise your hand. Whether you made a meal for our staff, whether you served all week, whether you stopped by, took pictures, whatever it is, give these people a round of applause because these guys are the ones that carried the vision, carried the weight. You know, my wife kept me, you know, straight and in line and helped out a significant deal. And of course, our amazing pastors who support this and allow us to take over this whole church. We maximize every square inch of this facility, top, bottom, and outside that we possibly can. I had invited Pastor Randy Waters, the children's pastor from Bakken's, to come for a night. And he was just like blown away by like, you guys use everything. The only thing we don't use is the bathrooms, except for just to go to the restroom. But other than that, man, if it's available, we use the space. But God's been good, and yes, ever since we started, I prepared, you know, anybody doing crafts, snacks, whatever, is always everybody prepared for 50 kids a night. And we had not yet got there, except for this past week, we hit 50 and 51 on consecutive nights. So praise God for that. That was awesome. And then we had in the high 40s, 47 for other two nights. So we had lots of people dropping kids off, going to get another van load, bringing kids in. So you guys definitely made that happen. And the kids had a great time. We learned about the truth of Jesus. They ate good in the snack area. They ate real good. They loved that. And they were blessed when they went home with take-home goodies. They played games. We did crafts. And we, most importantly, we learned about Jesus. We had great nights of ministry. We had 6 first-time salvations and 20 rededications. And every one of these kids came down the front, and they worshiped God. That's why you can't miss our Thursday night service, because we do it together as a whole church, where you see these kids help be at the front of the house and lead us in worship in a way that you don't get to see very often. So it was a great time. And apparently one of the kids got filled with the Holy Spirit when they were down here worshiping. I just found that out. So that's a great testimony.
Yes, amen. Praise God. Well, thank you, guys. Hey, I got to tell you something that you might want to talk to somebody who's here for the first service, because there might be a little more to this story. But I am very pleased to have received a bag from Children's Church. And it's like Regina and I are one, and we received a double blessing in this bag that says Pastor Phil. So we'll say that. Her and I are one, right? Amen. But anyhow, I love it. So praise God. Thank you, guys. And we're going to let the children go to Children's Church right now. Hopefully you guys have all seen the progress on our building. Not only did we get the whole concrete slab poured that we needed, but they've started putting our siding up, and so they are making good progress. And your contractors are enjoying working on the building. They're enjoying it. So we just want to keep that up in prayer as we keep moving towards what God has for us. And I want to say to you that the Bible says that the Lord says, bring ye the tithes into the storehouse. But what I want to concentrate on this morning is that the Lord says, prove me now. Do you know that God stands behind his word? And I want you to know that with the same power, with the same sincerity, with the same all-in effort that God says that a person can believe in their heart and confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and they will be saved. I want you to know that not one promise, not one command, not one direction from God in this word is given any less priority as any part of the word. I want you to know that you can trust God. You know, I want you to know that as I share this with you, I want you to know that I had a vision of the Lord. And I want you to know that the Lord is no longer the lamb that was slain at the cross. Remember, the Bible says, know no man after the old way. Know him after the resurrection. Amen. And I think we have forgotten that our Savior, our God, is also a warrior. I think that we have forgotten that he loves humanity, but in that love, he's a protector, he's a provider. And he says that he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. Oh, come on. And I want you to know that he says, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man, and I'm telling you right now that the Lord is standing at the door of every place of fear, every place of doubt, every place of weakness, every place of challenge in your life. God is standing at that door. And if you can think of the lion of the tribe of Judah, he's not just standing there and saying, well, you know, if you think about it, let me in. No, no, no. I tell you what, our Father is a protective Father. Our Lord's a loving Lord. And there's a ferociousness. Oh, I know you don't, you know, listen, I always like to think about how gentle God is, but he also says he's a warrior. And I'm telling you, I just saw the Lord saying, come on, come on, just open up. Just open up your heart and your life. Just let me in. Just let me into your situation. Some of you are stressed because of your life situations, and I'm telling you that the Lord is reaching toward you, saying, let me in and let me prove you. Prove me now, herewith saith the Lord. See if I won't rebuke the devourer for you. See if I won't open up the windows of heaven. I promise you the Lord has a tenacity about your life. That's why he says, please, don't grow weary in well-doing. Hold on. Because I'm promising you, I'm working on your behalf, even when you can't see it. I'm working things out, and you shall reap in due season. See, that's why we can't touch everything just with what we can see and with what we can hear and what we can feel in the natural. No, no, no. We have to leave room for our spiritual eyes. We have to leave room for what God has to say on a subject, because he's saying, prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts, and see if I won't show you how faithful I am. Amen. Ooh, that's about ready to make me shout. We better pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, there's an excitement in my spirit for your people. Lord, I thank you that even though we have seen an abundance of your grace, I'm reminded that after every supernatural thing you did in the Bible, you told us to get ready, because basically we've not seen all that you have for us, Father. Now, Lord, I thank you that as people trust you in the area of giving, Father, Lord, when they give financially, and Lord, when they give their hearts to forgive, to try again, to move forward in any manner, Father, Lord, you will prove yourself faithful. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful. We thank you that you rebuke the devourer. Lord, we thank you that you take anything we give you, Father, and you press it down, you shake it together, you multiply it, and you will cause it to run over and be more than enough. And God, we just thank you for your love and your goodness, and I ask you to bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. My goodness, my goodness. Listen to me. I can't tell you how important the words of that song we just sang is. Listen, there is something supernatural that comes upon our life when we start to say, no matter what we see, for all of my days, yes, I will. Listen, the Bible says, in Matthew chapter 24, 13, those who endure to the end shall be saved. And listen to me, I will tell you that you have an unfair advantage against the kingdom of darkness and the power of Satan to work against your life. You will create an unfair advantage when he knows that you ain't playing around. You're in this thing for the long haul. I'm telling you, you will take the wind out of Satan's sails when he starts realizing that no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what challenges you, you stand strong in the Lord. And when you start relying on the Lord, no matter what's going on, I tell you what, the authority of the dark one will fall at your feet, and you will see your life break forth like a noonday. And I'm telling you that I'm going to be preaching on a subject here that I know you're going to love. Hallelujah. Praise God, you're going to love it. But before I do, I want to remind you that this Saturday at 12:15 out at the new build site, we are going to have a meeting for outdoor evangelism. You know, I want you to know that we go all around the world preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. This year I've been to the Philippines and Kenya, and I thank you for your prayers and support as we do that kind of stuff. But I want you to know something, that we have entire community right here around us that needs to be touched by what's in you. Say hallelujah, Pastor. And so anybody who's willing to come and help out, listen, we're going to meet at 12:15 at the land. We're going to pray. We're going to lay out some things of what our first outreach is. And from there all through to wintertime, Katie, bar the door, we're coming for you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, I better welcome the live streamers this morning. Hallelujah. If you've never been here in person, get ready. We might knock on your door one of these days. But we're going to go out and just touch people's lives, because that's what we do, right? We can never forget that beyond our own salvation, the minute we get saved, I need you to know that there's absolute power in your life to provide help for someone else to be saved. It's just a natural part of who you are. The Lord says that when we become a new creature, immediately, not only are we brand new, but we have the ministry of reconciliation. And we become ambassadors. We represent the Lord, but we can touch people's lives, pray for them, and witness for them, and they will get saved, not just because I preach the gospel good, because I'm still going to say words wrong. Hallelujah. I'm still going to make up my own vocabulary every now and then. Like hallelujah. You don't know what's going to come out, what words I'm going to put together. Hallelujah. I want you to know, you have no idea what words I'm going to put together. But you can always rest assured in your testimony and in your touch on people's lives. It will be enough to bring people to the Lord. Amen? But anyhow, we get to share on a subject today that is so profound. I know you're going to love it. I want you to know that this subject is common. Every church teaches it. Every church believes it. And every church grabs a hold of it. Hallelujah. That's my faith confession. Listen to this. I'm going to preach to you on a topic that many might not know, that it's one of the greatest responsibilities that the Lord gave to us. I'm going to talk to you about the power and the necessity of fasting. Well, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Yes, I heard that. Praise God. Thank you for that confirmation voice out there. Now, listen to me. I want you to know something. That as people, you have got to understand that it is the devil's desire to steal from you the treasures of the kingdom. Listen, the one thing the enemy tries to do in every person's life is he tries to water down the gospel, steal the gospel, and make you come up with a wisdom that denies what God is speaking to our life. Listen to me. One of the greatest attacks of the enemy is that in this modern day that we live on, guess what the thought is? There's many ways to get to heaven. Oh, I don't care what you believe in. You just need to believe in a power, higher power. No, listen, those are all lies. There's one way, woo-hoo, which by men shall be saved, and that is Jesus Christ. We must believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and upon that confession, we receive salvation and become the children of God. Now listen, I love you out there, but if you think that there's another way to heaven other than going through Jesus, I want you to know that unfortunately, you are on doctrines of devil's crack. Whew, I'll get in trouble for this, but I might say it. If you believe that there's any other way to the Lord than going through salvation, you're on crack. You might not be on physical crack, but you are on spiritual crack. Get that mess out of your life and stand on the promises of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, hallelujah, give the Lord a hand clap. I want to share some things with you, because who was the most powerful man to ever live upon the earth? Who was the most powerful being to ever walk in a human body on the earth? Jesus. So if the Lord would give you an instruction, don't you think that his instruction should be purposeful for our life? Now, I'm going to take you to one of the most powerful moments of the devil oppressing a person on the face of this earth, and we're going to see what Jesus had to say about it. And it's in Mark chapter 9, verse 24. And it says, "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, the disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus spit on his knuckles, looked at himself, shined his jacket up or his robe up and said, because you're not me. He looked at them and said, oh, because stuff like this can only be handled by the special Son of God. He said, well, I just flipped a coin and by happenstance, something happened and it was just the luck of the draw. No, no, no. The Lord is very specific. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. I want you to understand something. If Jesus himself fasted while he was here on the earth, could it be a good idea for us to fast? In fact, remember last week in Matthew chapter 9 at the beginning of this very in Mark chapter 9 at the beginning of this very verse, we found out that the Lord said that the children that are with me now, they would never have to fast while the bridegroom is with them under the culture and the rules at that time. They said, but when I am no longer here, then will they fast, praise God. Somehow we have stolen this power reserve from people, and we've not even taught Christians that fasting belongs to them. We've not even taught Christians. I want you to know that, look here, I got my little diagram that's really for Thursday nights, but we've been using it a lot. But it shows that this big spirit, because your inward man, the Lord says that our inward man should be renewed every day, even though our outward man is dying every day. And I reminded you last week that that is not speaking to just your getting old. It's not speaking to my gray hair. It's speaking to the outward nature or the carnal nature of man. The man that only lives out of his soul with no relationship with God, that's what should be dying every day. Listen, unfortunately, I've heard today little kids cussing like sailors. And I've heard young men in their 20s cussing like train wrecks. Ladies never cuss, right? Hallelujah. Unfortunately, some of them can sometimes do better than sailors. Woo! Oh, I'm sorry. I got to be politically correct. But listen, I've heard men in their 50s, 60s, in their 80s cussing with the rage. So when the Lord is speaking to your outward man perishing every day, he's not speaking to an outward nature of years. He's speaking to the outward nature that is filled with hate, bitterness, selfishness, and all the ways a man rules his life without a relationship with God. And when he speaks to my inward man, he's not talking about over the years my inward man will grow. He's talking about the fact that the more I pray, the more I read my word, and the more I become obedient to God, my inward man can come up and be the power source that keeps my soul and my body under control and in unity. Hallelujah. Now listen, I want you to know something, that I was praying this week and I felt like people were saying, ah, well, fasting is works. And we have been born into grace. We don't have to work. I got a question for you. Before you were saved, did you breathe air? So your body was working before it was saved. You were just breathing air on a grace of God with no relationship with it. But after you got saved, guess what? You still breathe there. I got a question for you. Before you were saved, did you go to work? When we could keep our brain straight, we went to work before we were saved. Well, guess what? After we got saved, does my paycheck magically by grace show up in my account? No. Grace strengthens me to go to work with a good attitude. Grace strengthens me to go to work and work in such excellence that my boss promotes me. But guess what? I still have to use my faith and work to get through my day. Amen? So I want you to know something. Just take all of that false doctrine about we're saved by grace and not by faith. Because James said, you can talk about your faith all you want to. I will show you my faith by what I do in my life. Listen to me. I want you to know something. One of the biggest things that's going to happen to you as a Christian is that once you're saved, your nature will change. And we can verify your salvation because all of a sudden, a man that used to be angry doesn't blow up, throw things, and cuss like a sailor. A man that used to be angry now keeps himself under control. Listen, we know your faith not just because you're a nice guy and you sing on Sundays, but we know your faith because you are not chasing at the bar. You're not chasing everything that has a skirt on. You're going home being loyal to your wife and praying over her. You better be showing works of your faith every day. Don't ever get caught up in that lie that grace is enough and what I prayed is enough. No, grace mixed with faith means that your life will start reflecting different actions. Amen? Now, I'm telling you that because we have to tear something down for you to receive the truth of God. And what we have to tear down is right here in Proverbs chapter 14. And it says this. Now, we're going to teach on fasting, so I got to lay some groundwork first for you to even receive it. Bible says this in Proverbs 14, verse 11. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. Woo! I could preach a week just on that. See, the house of the wicked, we can talk about a physical house, or we can talk about your body as the house. Both of them have a right to be ruled by the Lord. You should have a sign over your house that says, hey, in this house we serve the Lord. But also, as a newborn believer, the Bible says that your body becomes what? The temple or the tabernacle of the Holy Ghost. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Your body becomes the place where the Lord pours out. Remember, Christ in me is the hope of glory. So when we look at this, we're not just talking about the tabernacle or the church building. We're talking about your spirit. And it says that we have a right to understand that the house or the person or the place or the men and women or the families that live wickedly, their whole house will be overthrown. But the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof leads to, or the end are the ways of death. I want you to understand something, that one of the biggest things the Lord has to contend with in your life is that there is a way that a man can choose to live without God. We can go the way of atheism. We can go the way of unbelief in scientific information only, which scientific information by itself is not, scientific information is wonderful and good, but without being humbly submitted to God, we can get ourselves out of balance. So this scripture says that there is a way that man wants to live. In other words, we have to be careful because as Christians, even as Christians, your mind is going to try to run back to the way that people do stuff without God. You're going to try to run back to your old vices when your fears and your stresses are up. You're going to try to turn back to things that are just the wisdom of the world. Listen, a man to his own way, left to his own way, is not good. See, we have to leave room in our life to humbly submit to God and do things God's way. Listen, I want you to know that we're going to look at a couple scriptures here. Can you put Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 up there? Hallelujah. I'm going to come out here and use technology today. Hallelujah. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now let's go to verse 19. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Uh-oh, here's where we have a problem with most Christians today. Christians want to come in and get all the blessing of God. They want his goodness on their life. They want him changed. But they still want to do things in their own way of thinking. They still want their own mind and their own ways to be acceptable before God. It's never going to happen. See, God gives us guidelines about relationships, about what we should do and what we should not do, because if we do it God's way, it'll lead to blessing. If we do it man's way, it will lead to destruction. Listen, you will destroy your best relationships if you treat your spouse with an unsaved mind. You will destroy your children if you speak to them out of anger and fear and disappointment with no ability to hear what the Holy Ghost would have you say. I want you to know something. You will destroy people's lives because you don't have your voice working on them the right way. You know, my wife went to a conference this week. I want you to know that before she even knew it, I fasted some time for her. Praise God. Now, I might have some wrong motives in there because I want her changed, because whenever she changes, it's a blessing to me. Praise God. But also, I want you to know something. That before my wife went to her conference, not only did I fast for her, but I prayed for her. I said, Father, you're going to be with Regina this week, God. And Lord, you're going to download her during that conference with everything you have for her, Father. Lord, I pray that she's healed. I pray that she's strengthened. I pray that she's touched by the Holy Ghost and she's safe and she's protected and she will return here, God, better than before she left. See, sometimes if all we do is live in the natural, you know, we won't even open up our mouth. We'll have frustrating things going on in our life, and we'll sit around pout. We're just all pouty, puffed up, wanting God to change everything, but we will never tap into the arena of faith and humbly submit ourselves to God so that we have something to say on the topic. Listen, I don't need to hear how your husband's such a lazy wreck and breathes bad breath on you and won't read the Bible. I don't need to hear all that. What I need to hear is how you came out of a time of fasting and praying and believing God for him to be supernaturally transformed into who he's supposed to be. You know, if the body of Christ would spend 95% of their time speaking and doing and praying the way God wants them to pray, we would see results. But most of us spend 95% of our time talking about what we see, what how bad experiences we've had, and we don't even give room to hear God. I'm telling you that there's a way unto man that's going to lead you to destruction, and there's a way unto God that will help you get out of the mess. Put Isaiah 55 up there. Boy, I'm just realizing what technology advances we have. Put Isaiah 55, verse 8 up there. This has been available to me all the time, and I rarely use it. I'm up there trying to flip around my pages. Yeah, look what it says. For my thoughts are not your... let's go up to verse 6. Now that I know he can do all this, boy, this is nice. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You know, how come when the Lord is talking to us, telling us don't go here, don't do that, we'll just push him away? And we want God as far away from us as possible when we're creating a mess. And then when it becomes a mess, all of a sudden we want to call upon him. Let's call upon him from the beginning. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Why don't you seek him at the beginning of your situation instead of the end of your situation, and you won't even go through your situation? Call ye upon him while he is near. Go ahead to the next verse. Let the wicked, forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Listen to me, we have to do things God's way. Go to the next verse. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Go one more, I think. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Woo, I could sing, preach to this. Listen to me, I want you to hear something in what I'm telling you. Right now, there might be a little voice saying to you, I can't fast. This is dumb. I don't need to fast. Any of the churches I've ever been a part of never said fasting was a critical part of your Christian life. Listen, get your thoughts way up. Bring your level thoughts up to God's sight. Because Jesus said that after he goes to the cross, not only will you fast, but you'll do it regularly. Oh, come on. I got to tell you something. For some of you that like scientific evidence and you're more scientifically minded than spiritually minded, a woman, when she gives birth to a child, puts her body in the most stressed, weakest condition possible before giving birth. True? But even before you went in to have your baby, what did they tell you to do, Taz? They said, you can't eat. Oh, come on. They said, you can't eat after midnight if we're going to give you. Am I telling the truth? What? She's supposed to be eating for two? And right before the supernatural life comes out, even the doctors say, you have got to fast and put your body under. So that way you're in the best condition for us to give you medicine. If you need anything, when your body's empty, we'll know how to respond. We'll know how to read all our reports. We'll know if you need this medicine or this medicine. I need your body clean. Woo! Have you ever noticed that when a doctor wants to check and see your blood pressure and check and see for diabetes and give you a health exam, the first thing they tell you to do is before you come to our office, we need you to not eat after this hour. See, you're mad at me because I ain't afraid to tell you it's fasting. Don't be mad at me. I'm just more honest than the doctor. Be mad just because I say fasting, you're upset. What if I said, Ben, I'd like for you to not eat for the next 24 hours and just pray and seek God. Okay, Pastor. But the minute I say fast, you say, whoa, whoa, you're ready to put your dukes up. Listen, we have got to be willing to take on the wisdom of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus would never have had it written in the scripture that this kind can only be overtaken by prayer and fasting if it wasn't critical. And sometimes some of the things that the Lord paid the highest price for, the church rejects the most. We're in a church world where they don't even want to believe in miracles anymore. We're in a church world where if you talk about the Holy Ghost, they think you're strange. And buddy, if you talk about fasting, they really think you're fanatical. That's a cult over there. Listen, if you accuse me of being a cult, I love it because all you're telling me is I got such a DNA of God that I can't be convicted from not going to the kingdom. Amen? Listen, I hope that they put me under review and tell me, brother, we found enough evidence in your DNA. You are strange enough. You are alien enough. You believe the Bible enough that we got to convict you to go to heaven. Praise God. I'll take that conviction all day long. And I want you to take that conviction. Listen here. I want you to hear what I'm telling you. That you are a spiritual being. See, just like in the physical. You know, if we went out to work in the hot sun, and you guys were taking me up on a roof, or if we were going to be working outside in this kind of heat, you'd say, Philip, you got to drink some water. Even some of you, you know, like at Kenton Kids Day, guys would come over to me, Pastor Phil, do you need a bottle of water? Do you drink any water? Why were they doing that? Because they understand that under that heat, I need water to be fortified. And if we know that in the natural, if someone was struggling around saying they were weak, we'd ask them if they were sick. If they said no, then we'd say, hey, have you drank any water today? Are you breathing? When you go to the hospital, the first thing they want to do is give you oxygen if you need it because they want to stabilize you. So how come in the natural we understand that if someone needs air, someone needs water, sleep, and food to eat, how come we're all in? But how come in the spirit realm, if the Lord told us that reading his word, fasting and praying is what we need to have the power of God in our life, how come we're stiff-necked and rebellious? Because we have to be careful that we don't let the wisdom of the world override the wisdom of God. Remember, in the world, things are going to make sense. But in the supernatural realm, you're going to have to hear peace in your heart from God and go God's way, and then you'll be better off. Amen? Ooh, I know that I'm not jumping around and shouting today, but boy, this is good stuff. We need it. I want to remind you that we already looked at Esther and Jehoshaphat, and we will look again, but we understand that when their life was on the line and when the entire kingdom was jeopardized, do you think that those guys would go to simple or something happenstance, or do you think they were just flipping a coin, or do you think out of everything they knew, they went to the most resource of power and wisdom that they could go to? Esther and Jehoshaphat, and throughout all the Bible, you will find that men and women, definitely when they needed direction from God, and definitely in the toughest battles, the one thing they applied was fasting to their life. Well, you're just talking about Old Testament. Oh, I'm just lining you up and building you up. I can't wait till you come and say, well, Pastor, you gave me all these examples of the Old Testament. Yeah, I can't wait to show you how many times they fast in just the book of Acts. Woo! Just the book of Acts is going to drive you nuts. But listen to this. I want to read these scriptures to you. Have I laid enough groundwork? Do you believe me now? Good, because now I can get into just a couple examples of our subject today. Put up Ezra. Can you find Ezra chapter 8 for me? And when he gets it up there, let me know. Huh? Ezra chapter 8, verse 21. Are you ready? Okay, praise God. Hallelujah. I like for you guys to just let that visually sit in your spirit for a minute. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava. Yeah. That we might afflict ourselves before God. Listen, to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. Now, I want you to see something here. That first of all, I want you to know that that river Ahava was known for being a place of humility, a place of humility, serenity, and clarity. So the Bible says that if we will humble ourselves before the living God and seek him, he will be found, and God will exalt us in due time. I want you to see something, that not only is fasting a way to tap into the power of God, fasting lets you humble yourself and submit yourself in a way to God that you are waiting to hear him speak. I want you to know that I have been on fast, and all of a sudden, I will change my vocabulary and say, ooh, I'm not going to say that or that ever again. I'll be on a fast, and God will reveal to me something to do and something to help out. And I want you to see something. Put that back up there. Keep it up there. I want you to see that not only did they fast for a right way, in other words, fasting will help you get clear directions. Fasting will help you to know what God wants you to do. Fasting will begin to show you things in the future. But also here, I want you to know that it says not only are we fasting for a way for us, but we are fasting for our little ones and for all our substance. Do you understand that fasting and praying over your children can protect them and bring them into moments of God that are profound? I'll never forget that I was on a fast one day, and I was driving home from work. So you can imagine, I was thinking about eating, praise God. But as I was driving home, the Lord extended my fast. And he told me I had to go at least another 3 or 4 days on my fast. And I said, what? And then while I was driving home, he spoke to me and said, when you get home, you tell Philip Walker Jr. that he's going to go on a fast. I said, Lord, he's just a little young boy. He's just barely above the age of accountability. You can't want him to fast. And the Lord kept speaking to me, tell Philip to go on a fast. And I got to my house, and I walked in the house, and he was laying on the couch, and it looked like he was already sick. And I said, oh, God, see, you don't want me to tell him to go on a fast. Look, he looks sick. He's all curled up in the fetal position. And all of a sudden, the Lord said, tell him. And I said, Philip Walker Jr.? I said, and I was trying to speak bold, get it out of my mouth fast, because I was going to go cry. I didn't want him to know that I didn't even want him to go through that. But I said, Philip Walker Jr., said, you need to go on a fast, a three-day fast. And he said, I said, you need to start today. And he said, Dad, I know I am. And it's 4 days, not three. And he flipped himself over in the couch and wouldn't speak to me the rest of the afternoon. Hallelujah, praise God. But listen, do you know that my son has put himself on fastings and seeking of the Lord's by himself without me ever pushing him from that day forward? Now, it might be why my son is in his 20s and has never touched a drop of alcohol. He's never smoked a cigarette. He's never tried an alcohol, a drug, or anything. Oh, I better not. I'll tell you that off the camera. There's a whole lot of other things my son has never touched. What would have happened if I had never been fasting? What would have happened if I had never challenged? Listen to me, I tell you what, some of you parents think that breaking rules for your kids, I don't want to put this on you, mamas. But mamas today think that they're supposed to be friends to our kids. Mamas today won't even whip their kids according to the scripture. And mamas today aren't even fasting for their children to see and get confirmed that the way God wants you to raise your children is better than Dr. Phil and Dr. Spock and Dr. Joe Jock and Dr. Book. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Your children need you fasting nowadays. Listen, to protect your children, they need it. We're going to fast to hear the clear direction of God, and we are also going to fast for our little ones, and then we're going to fast for all of our substance. Do you know you have a right to fast for your spouses out there? You have a right to fast over your homes and your houses. You have a right to fast that your future is protected from darkness. You have a right to fast so that people you love would be broken free. I'll tell you that some of us are afraid to fast because we don't think it'll do anything. Some of you, some of your children, some of your relatives, some of your loved ones, they're one fast away from you bringing them out of years of addiction. Whoo! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, here's what I love about this. I'm not able to teach this subject just because I want to. I'm able to teach this subject because of your faith. I'm able to teach this subject because some of you are starting to say, God, what can I do to help others? God, what is it really going to take for my son, my daughter? What is it going to take for my friends? What is it going to take for my family? Lord, what is it going to take for me to make sure that I never back up from who I am? And I'm telling you that God is giving you equipment and weapons of your warfare, and he's waking you up to things that have avoided your life for all of these years. I tell you, there are children and parents out there, mothers and fathers, who have prayed for a loved one and wondered what would it take. And I'm telling you that what would happen if you became Esther? What would happen if you acted like Jehoshaphat or Jesus himself? What might happen for you? Now listen, I'm going to give you a couple final scriptures here to open your heart up. And one of the men we're going to look at real quick. Whew, yeah, I got time. I ain't even been at it that long. It seems like it, but I really haven't. You might even get out early today. I don't know if you should count on that, but it might happen. But anyhow, listen to this. There's a young man named Daniel, and we know Daniel well, right? We know that Daniel fasted for 21 days, and an angel came and spoke to him. We also learned last week out of Daniel chapter 1 that Daniel had patterns of fasting throughout his life. It wasn't just a one-moment thing. We learned that in Daniel chapter 1, he went to the overseer, the eunuch in charge, and said, listen, we got to eat the way God told us to eat, not the way the king wants us to eat. And that was a whole nother situation that he fasted about. Well, in this particular situation, not only does Daniel fast, but Daniel gets partnership on this fast from someone who's not even all the way sure that they're going to be a Christian until after this fast. But Daniel ends up serving God. And this is so good for us because in Daniel chapter 6, is that what I want? Daniel chapter 6, we're going to find out that the only thing Daniel did wrong in this scripture is that he had an excellent spirit. He was living wholly for God. And just because he was living for God, it got him persecuted. See, sometimes Christians, when they start really living for God, that's when the enemy will attack them the most. And sometimes I find Christians saying, oh, what did I do wrong? Why is this attack coming? You didn't do anything wrong. You are using the wisdom of God. You're seeking him. You're finding him. So the enemy's trying to hold you back because he's scared of who you're becoming. And right here, Daniel is only guilty of having number one. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3 shows us what Daniel is guilty of. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Listen, sometimes you're going to get yelled at work, not because you're not doing bad. Not because you're doing bad, but because you're doing good. Sometimes your neighbors and your friends are not going to like you one bit because you're seeking God. Listen, the devil's not attacking people who are sitting around doing nothing. The devil's attacking people who want to move towards God. So thank you for moving towards God. If you've been facing battles and attacks, stay in the race because God's going to deliver the people you love. God's going to deliver you. He's helping you. Listen to me, you are being oppressed because the enemy is scared to death of your pursuit of God. So we find out that Daniel's only guilt was that he had an excellent spirit, and the man was thinking about promoting him. So it's like the other presidents, they found out, and they just took it as an occasion to come against him, and they said, we're only going to find an occasion against Daniel. Verse 5 says, these men, they said, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So let me tell you something. I pray that as a Christian, you get persecuted for your Christianity. I pray that people think you're strange because you fast and pray and give your tithes. I pray that people think you're strange because you won't go to the bar. I pray that people get on you because you just won't do what they think is right to do. Because that should be your signature. That should be a verification that says, boy, they really are with the Lord. Let me tell you something. Half the time, no, 99.9% of the times that your friends are trying to say, oh, just, I know you're going through stress. Let's have a drink. Oh, I know you're going through stress. Let's have a cigarette. Oh, I know you're going through stress. Let's smoke a little hash. 99.9%, they're trying to appease their own flesh and their own guilt of not living right. It's the old adage of crabs in a jar. If you've ever seen them, buddy, one starts climbing up and the other one will pull him right back down. And you need to be aware of these types of things. But it says right here that they went and they just were accusing Daniel. So they talked the king into changing the rules. Sounds like today. Used to be that that school couldn't start until you prayed. Used to be years ago that school was church on the Saturday, Sunday and school during the week. If you go to any old town, even here in Kenton, but if you go to Bell Fountain, if you go to Sydney, you'll find downtown big churches that were built in the 1800s and 1900s. They're just huge because there was not a town established until the church was established. Most communities in America got started because the first building they built when they came into a territory was the church because they knew that they had to worship God. Let me tell you something. I love America. I'm not afraid of slavery. I'm not afraid of equal rights. I'm not afraid of our history because I'm more proud of the fact that we stood upon the Constitution and the Word of God and forgave and moved and grew into the place where nobody can take our identity. Yeah. Yes, clap. Give the Lord a hand clap. It used to be commonplace. People don't know this, but up until 1968, you couldn't get government funding to start a school unless you promised to preach out of the Bible. Come on. I'm laying it down. Check my facts. I pray you do, because you'll get a revelation too. But I want you to know something. That here we find out that the rules changed. And Daniel was accused because of his faith. You know, they say that if you're a conservative Christian today, especially Pentecostal, if you're an end-time believer, do you know that they mark you as being weird? They mark you as being dangerous. Listen to me. I don't care how much progressive the world gets. I'm going to come and pray before my God. I'm going to declare Jesus Christ as Lord. And I'm not going to rewrite the Bible for your progressive agenda. And Daniel heard that they made this rule change and said, anybody that believes in Daniel's God, they are going to be thrown in the lion's den. And verse 18, Daniel 6, verse 18. Then the king, let's go up 16, verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. What gave the king confidence that Daniel's God would protect him? Because he had seen Daniel speak, and he had seen their nation protected before under Daniel's God. Now let's go to the next verse. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Now, no matter what, Daniel had to be in the lion's den for at least 24 hours. Now, go ahead. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night by just sleeping peacefully. He passed the night by eating a big meal. He passed the night by reading his Bible. He passed the night by singing music. No. It says that he passed the night fasting, say fasting. Fasting. Woo! Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Let me tell you something, people. Some of you are just one fast in sanctification of your house where you can hear God away from hearing the Lord. I tell you what, sometimes it's not good enough to fast. Sometimes you need to turn off your television and you need to get your favorite shows out of your heart, and you need to just meditate on the Word of God, and you need to put before God what you're praying and fasting about, and you need to stay there until He gives you an answer. Well, I just heard someone say, if I had fasted, I probably never would have gotten to that bad relationship I've been suffering under. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But listen, because the king fasted, now right away I want you to know something. Who was fasting along with the king? Daniel, absolutely. Because I got to tell you something, he's in the lion's den. He ain't bringing no meat down in there and cooking. He ain't cooking in front of them lions. He ain't giving them the idea of eating at all. He's being quiet, seeking the Lord, and trying to keep peace. Amen? Now, here's what I want you to see. Go to the next verse. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went into haste unto the den of lions. Keep going. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Go to the next verse. I think Daniel said it like, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. I think Daniel was quiet. Now, I don't know about you. If I had survived all night with a bunch of lions, I ain't going to wake any of them up by saying, O king, live forever. Now, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him. And if he did, I'm going to say, Daniel, you're more of a man than I ever thought you were, brother. You had more of an excellent spirit than I ever thought you did. So I'm telling you, I'd be climbing halfway up the mountain saying, oh, Lord, yeah. Shh, king, shut up. Yes. Can we just do sign language? Shut up. Stop. up. But anyhow, the king said, Daniel said, live forever. Next one. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Now, I got to tell you, this finishes strong and wrong for the other guys. Go to verse 24. And the king commanded, and they brought these men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Now, how did Daniel survive all night right there, and the lions didn't touch him? But these people didn't even make it to the bottom of the lion's den. The lion was catching them in the air, chewing them up. See that? Before they ever came to the bottom of the, that means them lions caught them in midair and made mincemeat of them. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. Since I've been to Africa on a safari, guess what I found out? I found out that lions will not touch humans. You can be in a vehicle and drive by a lion, and he will ignore you. But I also found out that if a human ever makes the mistake of being out in the middle of the night and gets caught by a lion, that lion is going to eat him. And then guess what? A lion loses all taste for wild meat. That's why they call lions man-eaters, and they kill them once they kill a person, because once a lion tastes the flesh of humans, they don't want to eat nothing else. Praise the Lord. Just like Regina, when I got her kiss from her, guess what? I didn't want a kiss from nobody else. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm missing her today. I'm sorry. But anyhow, listen to this. Understand this. These lions instinctively should have been more in a rage when Daniel was there than ever. Because it's at night that lions rage and eat. The other thing is these lions were purposely kept unfed so that they could punish people that went against what the king said. But here we find that serving God will override the intention of evil-hearted men towards you. It will override the purpose of the kingdom of darkness towards you. It'll make a laughingstock out of Satan. And guess what happened? After this, the king promoted Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and gave them even greater positions than what they had. God is wanting you to fast because it will release power on your behalf and for your family. Amen? Now, I'm going to finish today just on that scripture, because next week I'm going to really look back at Jesus and his time in the wilderness and how he came out and the power of God. And you're going to see that angel thing again. See, we know that the Bible says that Jesus came out in the power in Luke chapter 4. But if you read Matthew chapter 4, the same account, you're going to find out that it says that angels came and strengthened him and ministered to him. What supernatural touch upon our life are we missing by not fasting? What wisdom from heaven? What help? See, sometimes when we get to the end of ourselves, the Bible tells us two things. That number one, we can pray in the Holy Ghost and release our most holy faith. But also the Bible tells us that when we mix prayer and fasting together, they become a power team that can't be beat. Think about it. The Lord tells us that when two or three gather in my name, one can put so many to fight, but two agreeing can put something together. What would happen if you mix two supernatural weapons together, like praying and fasting, and let them partner up, just like me and you partner up to pray over something? And I'm telling you, there's no limit to what God can do. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I declare your blessing upon your people today, Father. Lord, I pray, God, that the devil would never deceive us and steal from us the spiritual authority and the spiritual weapon of fasting, God. Lord, just like the word becomes a sword in our mouth, Lord, I'm going to show them that next week the lamenting and the speaking of fasting is a resounding voice that goes to heaven and demands the attention of our Father. Yes, I don't know how he does it, but in the spirit realm, when you fast, it's as though your voice of prayer is singing out to God in great abundance. Now, Lord, I thank you that this week, God, Lord, I'm going to ask us to fast again on Thursday because I believe that there's an increase of your presence that's coming upon us that's just going to birth us into the new days that are ahead of us, God. And, Lord, I thank you for your people. I thank you for your church. I thank you for this congregation that is maturing to the point that the deeper things of God are being released in their hands. Lord, I thank you that they're not a milk congregation. They're not an infant congregation. But God, they can handle the strong meat of the word because they are good soldiers. Father, I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Listen.